Let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus, chapter number 3. It's good to see everybody tonight. Make it out for the weeknight service. Exodus, chapter number 3. We're going to start at the very beginning of that chapter. Very familiar story. Exodus, chapter number 3. If you find it, if you want to stand for reverence to reading God's Word. We'll read a few verses here, and then we're going to go over to the book of Joshua. So we'll read a few verses here. Starting verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time that we have to gather tonight. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I don't take it lightly, and I pray that you just help my mouth tonight. Help me to speak the words that you'd have me to speak, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help my thoughts, Lord, and I pray that this would just be a challenge to the people, Lord, as it was a challenge to me, and I pray that you would just help my heart to be open to what you'd have for us and the other hearts tonight, Lord, and I pray that we would just be able to put aside everything in our minds and the busyness of life, and that we'd just be able to concentrate on your word. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go over to Joshua. I was going to do it, but I got several verses over in Joshua also. Let's go over to Joshua chapter number 5. We're going to kind of tie these two stories together by one thing that they have in common. But Joshua chapter number 5. Verse number 11. This is after the Israelites have gone through the wilderness for 40 years. And they've basically, everybody's died off except for Joshua and Caleb. And so this is right after that. And the Bible says in verse number 11, Joshua chapter 5, verse 11, says, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." This is just a side note, but Lord really blessed me with this when I was studying for this my topic tonight. But you know, God gives you provision for when you need it, and you know, it's pretty amazing how God works that out. You know, He knows in certain times of your life you need certain things, and for the children of Israel, they needed the manna when they were in the wilderness. But it's pretty interesting. As soon as they didn't need the manna anymore, God took it away from them. So it's just a blessing the way God takes care of us. But let's continue on verse number 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." We're going to continue in chapter 6, because this is part of the same conversation. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." And it goes on to tell, and it goes on to tell how Joshua is going to defeat the city of Jericho. The two common things that I want to pull out of this, in verse number 15, Joshua chapter 5, the Bible says, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Now if you'll flip back to Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 5 also, the Bible says, "And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." I want to talk about this tonight. This subject is either, you could call it empty shoes or filling shoes. And I want to talk about that tonight. I noticed this, and I read one story, and the Lord brought to mind the other story about this. And I want to talk to you tonight about this. You know, we all wear shoes, praise the Lord. Some people's shoes are much bigger than other people's shoes, but usually we all wear shoes. And I was watching my daughters the other day, and you know how most kids are. Anybody that's got little kids could tell you this. They always want to wear their mom and dad's shoes. And even Gwen can wear my wife's shoes. And she was wearing some high heels the other day and just trucking around the house in them. And they'll put on mom's flip-flops, or they'll try to put on dad's rubber boots, and you know, they're kind of funny to watch, and I think probably that could be said of all of us. At some time in our childhood, we wanted to wear dad's shoes. I mean, I think my mom's got pictures of me trying to put on dad's shoes, or my sister's trying to put on mom or dad's shoes, or wearing mom's high heels around the house. It's just something that, as a kid, you just, I don't know what it is about big people's shoes, but you want to wear somebody else's shoes beside your own. And I got to thinking about that, and the Lord kind of brought this to mind about, you know, Joshua. If you look at what God was telling Moses, if you think through the story with me, think about what Moses was going through right now. God, there's a burning bush, so Moses goes over to look at it. And one of the first things that Moses tells, God tells Moses, "Moses, you need to take your shoes off." And then we look at Joshua. Joshua is about ready to go, probably do the first biggest thing he's ever done. I mean, this is the first big battle that he's going to have to fight. And he's going out by faith, and this is a task that he's going to have to do. And it's pretty interesting. The Lord said, "Joshua, you need to take your shoes off." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a ton of shoes, but I've got different shoes for different things. I brought a pair of my shoes. I like illustrations. These are worn-out shoes, and I'll tell you why I'm using worn-out shoes, all right? I don't wear flip-flops. That goes against every grain of my body to wear flip-flops, all right? I don't even wear, like, the casual, they're not really flip-flops. I don't know what you call them. I stay away from anything like that. These are if I got to slip a pair of shoes on, I always take my old dress shoes, and I just take the laces out of them and slip your foot right in them. They work really well. So for future reference, if anybody needs to know. But, you know, we all have shoes, and we all have different kinds of shoes. You know, I got shoes that I wear for different things. If I'm going to be on a roof, I'm not wearing rubber boots, okay? But if I'm going to go be in a slop somewhere, or doing concrete or something, I'm going to wear rubber boots. All right, if I'm playing basketball with you guys, you know, I'm not going to have a pair of steel toe work boots on normally, okay? I'm going to have tennis shoes on. You know what I mean? We wear shoes for different things. And, you know, one of the first things you do when you get up in the morning, you know, you take care of eating breakfast or whatever, but really before you go start your day, what do? You put shoes on. And they're usually shoes according to what you're going to be doing that day. Now, I have a really bad habit of what I'm planning on doing during the day changes, so usually my shoes aren't exactly sometimes what I should be wearing at the moment, and I get in trouble for that sometimes. But we usually put on shoes according to what we want to be doing that day. And I think God tells, and I know there's different reasons, and you could look at whatever reasons you want to, that they take off their feet, off their shoes, because God said, for one, the ground is holy. But you know, when they put their shoes back on, from that point on, they had a different commission. When Moses took his shoes off, he was just a shepherd. When Moses put his shoes back on, he was then the leader of the children of Israel. When Joshua took his shoes off, he was just a guy trying to figure out how to defeat this huge city, this impregnable city. When Joshua put his shoes back on, he was then a man that knew the plan, knew where he was going, and knew what he was going to do. And I think as Christians, sometimes we're wearing shoes, but a lot of times, sometimes the shoes we're wearing isn't the shoes that we ought to be wearing for what God has for us in life. And I want to go, we're going to run through the Bible with some different things. I'm just going to reason with you tonight more about anything. We're going to the book of 2 Kings also. But, you know, as a child, we try to wear our parents' shoes, right? And then, have you ever seen it? People say sometimes that, you know, oh, you walk like your dad. You know, and as a child, it's funny how you do that, but a child picks up certain characteristics, even how they walk like a parent. And then, you know, we'll be walking in the snow or something, and you take a step, and then your kids are trying to take steps with you. They're trying just to follow in your steps. It's not so much that they can't make steps of their own. They're just trying to follow daddy's steps, or they're trying to follow mommy's steps. And as a Christian, we need to do that with God. And we're going to look at some verses tonight that just kind of remind us about this. And then it's kind of funny, though, you know, as we change, as we get older, you teenage girls don't go in your mom's closet necessarily and get her shoes on, wear them around the house, all right? You know, you guys don't really seem to go and get your dad's shoes and wear them around the house. You don't do that. And, you know, I think as Christians, we don't, sometimes we have that spirit in us as young Christians, but as we get older, it's like, oh, those are somebody else's shoes. I don't have to wear those. And I want to talk about some of that tonight. But I'm going to read some verses to you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." What are some of the shoes that we ought to wear as Christians? Well, we ought to wear the shoes of those that are our leaders in the faith.
Yes, sir.
You know, we ought to wear the shoes of our pastor that has set the pattern before us. And we follow the steps, just like a child, they follow their parent through the steps. You know, I've taken Emily out and we have a garden and stuff, and, you know, she can't see over the tomato plants. She definitely can't see over the corn. She can't see, you know, she fights her way through the beans. She just has a hard time getting through the plants. But, you know, she wants daddy to go first. And then she follows right behind daddy because daddy holds back everything for her and makes sure she can get through okay. And as Christians, the Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you. So our leaders are some of those that we need to follow, the shoes that we ought to wear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." This is Paul talking. 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And preachers taught this as a discipleship program, or as a discipleship, you know, pastor follows the Lord's leading. And then as church members, we're supposed to follow the pastor's leading. And we're just following in his steps. If you would, we're wearing his shoes. The steps that he's making, we're making. All right, and as Christians, that's very important for us to do. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as ye have us for an example." You know, he's just saying, find somebody that's doing what they're supposed to be doing and follow in their steps. You know, folks, we've had a lot of people in our church that have done what they're supposed to do. And they've paid the price, and they've sacrificed, and they've worked. And it's up to us to follow in their steps. If you would, it's up to us to wear their shoes. You know, people say they're putting on different shoes. Well, a lot of times it means they're going to be doing something else. You know, Moses, he was putting on different shoes. I mean, I know he was putting on the same shoes, but his task was different. His obligation, his calling from God was different. So we should follow Christ. We should follow the faith of the leaders. We should wear the shoes that our leaders have given to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going in verse 21. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So following Christ, we should wear the shoes that we should follow Christ in. So we should follow our leaders. We should follow Christ. How can we fill the shoes of those that went before us? How can we fill the shoes of those that went before us? You know, folks, and it's a fact of life, but there's many people that were here when our church started and that was founded when our church was founded and sacrificed and gave and shed tears and bled. They're not with us anymore. And, you know, in a very simple illustration, You could say their shoes are sitting back there in the back door. They're just waiting to be filled. Yep. And it's up to us, those that are still here, it's up to us to step in those shoes and carry on in the same path that those folks have left us footsteps to follow. But those shoes many times are just sitting back there. Are they filled sometimes? Yes, sometimes they're filled. But what happens many times is when somebody goes to heaven or when somebody just becomes physically unable, just to, you know, people get tired. People get older. And it's just harder for them to go. But many times their shoes, the footsteps that they've trod and the shoes and the job that they've done for Christ, many times they just sit at the door. And you know, you could go to people's houses, folks that have lost loved ones, and you, a lot of times, if it's fairly recent, you could go in, and you know what? Sometimes the shoes are still there. It's not something that, you know, they pass off as an inheritance, really. So, I mean, it's just something that kind of stays around, unless you just throw them away. But a lot of times the shoes are still there. Well, as Christians, it's our obligation to fill those shoes, to keep carrying on those traditions. How can we fill the shoes of those that went before us? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. We're going to start in verse number 2. Well, let's start in verse number 1. Might as well. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." This cracks me up every time I read this for some reason. It's like, yeah, I know he's going to die. Be quiet about it. I don't want to hear you talk about it. And the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. You know, folks, as Christians, we get so busy, and I'm included. I'm not excluding me by any means. In fact, this is as much to me as anybody. But as Christians, sometimes we get so busy with our lives and what we want to do and what pertains to us that we forget about the whole scheme of things and the whole work of God. And we're so busy wearing our shoes that we're willing to let the shoes of those that have gone on before us, have passed on, we're just willing to let them sit by the door. You know, they gather dust and nobody thinks about them. But you know, those shoes need to be filled. That job that person held here at church, that the time that person spent in prayer at church, who's going to do that? Who's going to fill those shoes? And we get so busy wearing, these are the shoes I have to wear. These are the shoes, my life, the things I want to do, the money I want to make, the requirements that I want to obtain. We get so busy with our shoes and filling our shoes that many times the shoes of those that have sacrificed so much, we just let them sit at the door. And we don't fill them, and we're not willing to step into them. And I want to show you tonight, how can we fill the shoes of those that went before us? Well, the first thing, what did God tell Moses and Joshua to do? What did he tell them to do? Take off their shoes. Take off their shoes. What did Elisha have to do to take the mantle of Elijah on? He had to take off his own mantle. And you know what? Elisha didn't even just take off his mantle. The Bible says he took off his mantle and ripped it in half. And you know what? Sometimes as Christians, those shoes are sitting there, and God, those positions don't need filled. They don't need filled? Well, as Christians, it's our obligation to fill those shoes. As God comes to a lot, what if Moses said, no, God, and Moses tried to pawn it off, if you remember, Moses, I can't wear those shoes. Moses said, God, I can't wear those shoes. Aaron can wear those shoes better. But if you look at, God said, all right, I'll let Aaron. But who was the real leader once they got to Egypt? Didn't Aaron really do anything? No. Aaron did absolutely nothing almost. So Moses ended up wearing those shoes. What if Joshua said, God, I can't do this. These shoes just, they won't fit me. So what would have happened to the city of Jericho? Who would have taken charge of it? All right? So those shoes need to be taken off. But the first thing we have to do, we have to take off our own shoes. You know, hey, Moses was a busy man. He was watching a whole flock of sheep. Elisha could have just said, well, bye, Elijah. I'll see you in heaven. I guess I'll go back and see if I can get another 12 yoke of oxen and start plowing again. But no, he didn't. He took on the mantle. Joshua put on his shoes again. He accepted the commission from God. What's God asking us to do? What's God asking me to do? That I'm just like, well, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. The second thing, you have to take off your own shoes. The second thing you have to do, obviously, you have to put on the shoes. Yes, sir. All right? It's not just, well, I'm not going to do this. Because you know what? If you eventually, you say, well, I'm so busy. But I'll set a little bit of time aside for God. And then before long, that little bit of time, you've got other busy things that come up. Unless you just decide, I have to do this. This is my commission from God. I have to do this. Hey, folks, don't be the one that says, well, that shoe just doesn't fit me. There's hundreds and hundreds, thousands of Christians that say that shoe just doesn't fit me. That's just not my type of ministry. Hey, folks, I don't know about you. I have yet to buy a pair of shoes that are perfectly comfortable when I buy them. I really have never bought a pair of shoes that, oh man, these are great. Granted, I don't spend $500 on a pair of shoes. Maybe if I did, I might find some really comfortable shoes, but I just don't. You know, but you know, after a week, you don't tend to notice them. And then by the time, you know, water starts seeping into your work boots and, you know, the steel toes showing and, you know, it's all cracked up and stuff, they're pretty, pretty comfortable. They're real comfortable then. And, you know, in the Christian's life's like that, folks. Sometimes it's like, man, that I don't know about that. I can't do that, God. Just like Moses said, God, I can't do that. Wonder what Joshua thought. Okay, so you want me to march around the city and then the walls are just going to fall flat. God, I can't do that. I don't know about this. I'm going to be a laughingstock to the whole country. I can't do that. What if Elisha said, I don't know. I said I wanted a double portion, but I don't know. That Jezebel and Ahab, I don't know if I want to do this. What if? All right? And as Christians, I'm a lot of times, God says, Chad, I need you to put on these shoes. Hey, putting on a pair of shoes is as simple as putting on a pair of shoes to go. You need to put on these shoes and walk down to that person and tell them about Jesus. You need to put on these shoes and walk down to that bus kid's house and tell them, hey, we're running a bus through here Sunday. And sometimes Brother Chad's just like, God, I don't want to put those shoes on. That's uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable doing that. Those just don't fit me right. That's not my personality. So I can't do that. Well, Pastor needs some extra help, and Brother Jesse's trying to find help for people in Sunday school. Well, I'm just not comfortable working with children. Hey, why don't you just get uncomfortable for a while and let God work on your heart, and then maybe you'll become comfortable. You know, you wear a pair of shoes. the reason I like these so much for just slipping on, they're really comfortable because they're wore out. They're completely wore out. I mean, they're barely holding together, but you know they're comfortable. And you know, the more you do something, the more comfort you get in doing it. So don't be one of the ones that says, oh, I'm just not comfortable. We got Bible school. I just can't deal with all those screaming kids. So why don't you go out of your comfort zone for just a little while? And you know, you might find that you just might become a little bit more comfortable with it. Sadly, though, a lot of Christians, we don't want to be comfortable with it, regardless of whether it is comfortable. It's like some kids, you know, their mom may go to Walmart and buy a pair of starter tennis shoes. That might be really comfortable, but they think that the Nikes are even more comfortable. Are they any more comfortable? Probably not. It's a little ch-ch on the side of them. They think it's more comfortable. All right? You just think that you're more comfortable because you don't want to do it. As a Christian, whose shoes... Hey, I remember Pastor Ross, we'd unload buses every VBS. He'd stand out there and greet kids. And those shoes are probably still sitting back there, waiting for somebody to go back there. And what about all the elderly people that helped out in refreshments that aren't with us anymore? Their shoes are sitting back there at the back door. Somebody could slip them on their way out tonight. Yep. And you could wear them this next week. It's just up to you. Are you going to be, oh, this is just... Hey, you know when I first... I have stilts. I think they're 24-inch stilts. They'll go up to almost double. They'll almost go up to 4 foot on my stilts. And you know, the first time I put stilts on, it was really entertaining. Not for me, but for everybody else. I bought them at a yard sale, and I thought, well, I'm gonna prove to my wife that I can walk on stilts. So, you know, I can get up right now. Now I can get up. I can pretty much get up from sitting down. I can get up. I can sit on the floor, and I can pretty much get up on stilts from sitting on the floor. But when I first did it, I was sitting on the back tailgate of my truck. You know, my truck was sitting up pretty high, and I'm putting these stilts on. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm putting these things on, and I stand up. And it was like a circus act. And I'm trying to, and you know, you're 2 foot up. And it's not like if you've ever wore stilts and you fall on stilts, you know, you fall on the ground, you can kind of tuck and pull your, you know, kind of help yourself. You've got 2 foot of stick on the bottom of your foot. There is no tucking when you do that, all right? And I'm up on these stilts, and then I get the bride. I'm outside. She's inside. So I've got like 6 steps to go up to inside the house. And I'm like, I can do this. I kind of walked around a little bit. This is all right. Steps surely can't be that bad. You try walking. You can't even reach the handrail. You're 2 foot higher. Your handrail's down by your knee. And then you try to reach over to catch the handrail, and then you can't pick your leg up high enough because you hit your chin. And I'm trying to walk in the house, and then I get in the house, and I forgot we only got 8 foot ceilings. So I'm walking through the house like this, trying to find my wife. And I seriously about killed myself. But you know, now, I'm not saying I'm perfect on steps, but I can go up steps. I can walk pretty easy up and down the hallways. And some of you guys try the stilts some, all right? You try stilts, all right? And you know, the first few times you try them, you like to kill yourself. You really do. And then that's at 2 foot. I still haven't got to where I'm very comfortable. You know, you jack them up to 3.5, 4 foot high, and you're trying to walk with those. Although if a guy could figure out how to run with them, think how fast you could run. I mean, you double your stride or triple it, all right? But you're up, you know, you're up so high, it's just, it's uncomfortable. But you know what? After you do it for a while, it's pretty easy. And you know what? Once I've used stilts, there's some things I would never go back to a ladder with. I would never touch a ladder. I can trim out a room where somebody would, on a ladder, you have to, you know, you can trim 3 foot and you got to move your ladder. You trim 3 foot. I can just walk around the room and trim the whole room. Easy. Super easy. I'd never go back to them. Hey, you know what? Sometimes if you put a pair of shoes on that God wants you to put on, sometimes they just get so comfortable and you find, wow, it's not so bad after all. And look what God's blessing me with. Look what God's doing in my life. Look how much more I can accomplish for God. Why did I ever think that I couldn't wear those shoes? Why did I ever think that I couldn't do that? Did you ever see Moses? I know Moses had some hard times with the children of Israel, but you know, when Moses died, he was still the leader of the children of Israel. Moses lived the rest of his life being the leader of the children of Israel, the man that said, God, I can't do it. The man that said, God, you want me to put those shoes on? You need to get my brother to put those shoes on. I can't do that. What's God asking you to put on? Hey, like I said, we got VBS. Hey, we got buses that need workers. Oh, Bro Chad, it's too early. And I can't, no kids on a confined space. It's too hot. I just can't do it. I can't do it. You know, you put those shoes on, you might find that it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. Hey, you know, Brother Bo, his shoes walked a lot of steps up and down sidewalks, knocking on doors. Are they sitting back there waiting for somebody else to say, I can do that. That can't be that bad. And like I said, hey, it gets more comfortable with use. More comfortable with use. You know, and God's not going to ask you to do something. Preachers preach this over and over. God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. All right? I don't ask my daughter to wear my rubber boots. All right? She can't. They're too tall. All right? She's got short little legs. Okay, I don't ask her to do that. But you know, God will only ask you what he knows that you can do, even though you don't think you can do it. God will only ask you what he knows that you can do. All right? Hey, what about, you know, there's been some excellent cooks that aren't here anymore. Those shoes need filled. You think, oh, somebody else can do it. Why don't you do it? Hey, what about, you know, I kind of thought when I was preparing this, I wonder how many spots, little round spots there are in people's carpet where their knees were, where that was their time to pray. Who's going to fill those spots? Who's going to wear those shoes? Because we still need prayer warriors. Well, I can't, you say, Brother Chad, I can't do everything that I used to do here at church. Well, that's fine, but you know, there's shoes for every age of life. And you know, there's some things oh my goodness, I gotta take time to go do this. And to me, it's almost like a burden to do sometimes. But you know what? As an older person, as an older folk, that stuff still needs done. That stuff, you know, when a preacher has the senior saints meal, he gives you things that we need to pray about, we need to help encourage, we need to do. Those things still need done. Are you going to go fill those shoes? All right? There's some shoes that Brother Chad can't fill. I just can't. I can't necessarily fill pastor's shoes, but it's not my job to fill pastor's shoes. All right? But like I said, am I comfortable up here preaching to you folks? Absolutely not. But from where I was when I started to where I'm now, that's night and day. Like, literally, I'd be shaking up here. Literally. What made it different, Brother Chad? I put them on more often. I was willing to wear it more often. Hey, you know, when I first started witnessing to people, it was really hard for me to witness to people. But you know what? It's a lot easier now. And there's something else, too, when it goes back to witnessing. If you ever notice, like I had a pair of work boots that I was wearing them for a while, and then, well, they smelled like turkeys. So I was like, well, I can't be wearing them in the church all the time. You know, working here at church. So I got another pair of boots, and then I went back and I tried them on, wear them the other day again, and you know, they just didn't quite feel right. Have you ever done that? You got a pair of shoes and you wore them for a long time. They're not really wore out, but you go back and wear them again after you wore a different type of shoe. It's like, well, that's kind of feel weird. And you know, it's like that too. You go for 3 months without witnessing somebody. Yes. It's hard again. Yes, it's hard again. But you do a day, you do it week in, week out, no big deal. You go visit people week in, week out, no big deal. But you say, Brother Chad, it's hard for me. Well, how long has it been since you wore that pair of shoes? How long has it been since you wore, Brother Chad, it's just real hard for me to read the Bible every morning. How long has it been since you wore that pair of shoes? Well, Brother Chad, it's real hard for me to pray every morning. Hey, I understand. I understand morning things. But when was the last time you wore that pair of shoes? That's why it's so hard, is because you haven't kept comfortable in it, all right? So we got to keep comfortable in our things that God needs us to do. There's a rocking chair, probably. If I ask Miss Terry, there's probably a rocking chair back there. Well, I don't know. We got a lot of kids, so maybe not at this point, but I'm sure she could use some extra help. Oh, there again, I just can't do it. I think you probably could. Hey, I'm getting ready to tear all the siding off that building out there. That's not my skill set. Well, maybe if you came, I mean, you're just running a screw gun and a pry bar. You can get kind of comfortable running a screw gun and a pry bar. Believe me, I've done a lot of it, all right? Just get comfortable. But you know what? You got to be willing to take your shoes off and put the other shoes on. If you never take your shoes off, you know, most people don't wear two pairs of shoes at one time. You just don't. You can only wear one pair. Some people, that's what my problem is sometimes. Well, I need to do this, but I need to do this for God. And I'm trying to blend two things. I'm trying to wear two pairs of shoes at the same time. Sometimes you just got to take your shoes off and work for God sometimes. Sometimes God just says, Moses, this is what you need to do. And Moses took his shoes off, and when he put his shoes back on, Moses had a new commission. When Joshua took his shoes off, and then he put his shoes back on, Joshua had a new commission. When Elisha took his mantle off and he put the new mantle on, not only did he have a new commission, but he had a double spirit from a great man of God. What's God asking you to do? And I'm not the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost will, right now, or during the invitation, the Holy Ghost will say, hey, maybe you should try that. Maybe you should try wearing those shoes for a while. And I think if you'll just do it, just try it. Because like I said, hey, there's Brother Ali's that would stand back there. I was scared to death to come to Wednesday night. You're laughing because you know what I'm going to say. I was scared to death. If I was on the usher list, I was scared to death to come on a Wednesday night without my shirt and tie. Absolutely scared to death. Why? Because he would get in your face and, where's your shirt and tie? Oh. But you know what? Week in, week out, he was there in his place. Who's wearing those shoes? Well, I didn't have time to get ready today. Right? I don't want to usher tonight. Brother Ali's shoes are waiting there, waiting to be filled. Are you in your spot when you're supposed to be in your spot? When it's your time in the nursery, are you in the nursery? When you're supposed to be a helper in a Sunday school, are you a helper in the Sunday school? No, I don't want to wear those shoes today. I just don't feel like it. God has some shoes for us that he wants us to put on. He has shoes for Brother Chad that he wants Brother Chad to put on. It's all my obligation. My job is to take my shoes off and then put those shoes on. And then you think, well, this is uncomfortable. This isn't going to work. This is uncomfortable. Then, you know, second day in, oh man, my feet are sore still today. Third day in, you don't really start thinking about it till the end of the day. Fourth day in, you don't even think about it. God will give you the grace and God will give you the strength to wear the shoes, but you just got to take yours off, what your priorities are in life. And sometimes you got to put God's priorities in front of your priorities. Does God always require you to wear the shoe all the time? Not necessarily. But sometimes for a certain period of your life, God says, I need you to do this. You know, I remember Brother Charles, he taught third and fourth grade class. Is he still teaching that class? No. But he taught that class for the time that God had him to teach that class. And now there's other people, Brother Bob and Miss Angie, they're filling those shoes. You see what I'm saying? But what shoes are there still around the church? You know, when we have a work day, whose shoes are lined up outside on the sidewalk, sin and empty, of men that would have been there, but they just can't. Not because they They don't want to be there. It's just because they're either gone or physically unable to. Whose shoes are lined up out there waiting for us young guys or middle-aged guys or whatever to come? Whose ladies' shoes are lined up in the kitchen waiting for a lady to step into them? Whose shoes? Are they just going to sit there empty? Or is there going to be other people that step up and fulfill those responsibilities? Just something to think about, something to meditate about. And I think the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. He's good about that. Much better than I would ever be. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for this time that we're able to gather tonight. Lord, I thank you for this, what you just taught me through this. And Father, how I just have to, like Elisha, sometimes I just have to tear up my things, my desires, my wants, the busyness of my life, and I have to put on a new thing. And Lord, it never seems to fail, like when I do this, that you just bless it in an amazing way. And before long, I even become comfortable doing it. Father, I pray that you just help us. Help us to look through our lives. Help us to think about what our church needs. Father, and I pray that you just help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, whatever you would have in each of our lives, I pray that we would just be willing to do that, and we'll thank you for it.